Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Jerry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
Hey, great to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours. It's been a while.
Yes. You're back in the country.
I am.
Wow.
I'm in beautiful Marblehead, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Marblehead.
Have you? Then you know it's beautiful.
I think it's on the water, isn't it?
It's just about as close as you can get without getting wet. Yeah, and I came in yesterday afternoon, and as we were coming in, I was on Air France, so the pilot had was French, which one would expect.
Yeah.
And as we were coming into Boston, he says, and the temperature is 30 degrees Celsius, 85 degrees Fahrenheit, and we all looked at each other and said, did he say... We couldn't believe it. So the weather is absolutely exquisite.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Very fun. I feel very welcomed home.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. That's great.
Things have been good where you are?
Things are great here. Yeah, and the weather has taken a turn for the warmer in California as well, so I'm grateful for that.
All right.
Yeah.
And do we have some callers?
We do have some callers. Do you want to say anything about Africa?
Well, it's lovely. We did not have internet access anywhere. Things seem to be going backwards there instead of forwards. And so I understand we're a little behind in the blogs, but I don't think this has come out in the blog yet, but we got on Wednesday last, we got a fresh, clean drinking water for the compound.
Wow.
First well that they've ever had.
Wow, that is huge.
It is huge, and there was some serious singing and dancing going on.
That is incredible.
Yeah, yeah, it's very exciting. It was a fast trip, and we got so much done that it was just staggering. I think probably right about now they're breaking ground on the new building.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's happening.
Great.
Yeah.
Can I give you one quick comment on the blog?
Yes.
Which is just fabulously incredible, as usual. You know, I used to be able to keep track of, you know, there's this person here, and they're doing this, and then there's another person over here doing this.
Right.
And I was reading the blog today, and it's impossible. There is so much happening in so many directions.
Yeah.
I need like a family tree.
It really is. In fact, we tried to do a little bit of that. You know, go back and say, now this is the person who, because we start to need, like in the front of some books, you know, a cast of characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is astounding how our network there has grown.
Yes.
And we really feel ourselves to be a part of the community, and in fact, I'll tell you one quick story. We were supposed to meet. We had an appointment to pay our respects to the permanent secretary, who is I was trying to describe it to someone recently. I said it's like if you divided this country up into the time zones,
right?
Then that office would be the permanent secretary of the western or the
right.
eastern zone, and so it's bigger than a governor, and that the permanent secretary is a civil servant, and then the person over, in this case her, because it is a woman who holds that position, is the provincial minister, And that's an elected office. And so we had our appointment to see the permanent secretary, and she got held up somewhere, and we weren't able to see her. So they took us in to see the provincial minister.
Wow.
Who was just this just charming, charming man, and just kind and supportive and knew about us and wanted to know more about our projects. And as we left, said, "Now, if there's anything that you need, any difficulties you have, anything that you run into that you feel you need help with, you must call me directly. You never need an appointment. Just call me directly." And as we were leaving, you know, then we left his office, and as we were leaving the country, we were talking with the fellow from the head of the building department, and he said, "I got a call from the provincial minister."
Wow.
He said, "Take good care of those people."
Wow.
So it's just, it's great. I mean, people are just so happy about what's going on in Cantalumba. And, you know, just very supportive and kind and gracious and everything you'd want from people.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So read the blog. And
read the blog. Yeah, good stories.
Great.
Good stories. Good. Lots and lots of good stuff happening.
Great. Sherry, we do have three callers, in fact.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Jim from Nashville. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I am great. I can't tell you how excited I am to talk to you. I read There's Nothing Wrong With You at 18, and I think I've bought copies or loaned it to 12 different people between then and now. It's really been a positive impact on me, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you. That's good to hear.
I am in an interesting situation, relationship-wise, where I'm involved with a girl who, because she's fairly recently out of divorce from a pretty long marriage, she's scared of jumping into something serious again.
Uh-huh.
So we're kind of in a situation where it's not total commitment, and I'm having a really big problem with that. And I know that most of my feelings about it are irrational, but I feel almost perpetually threatened, perpetually jealous, and insecure, I guess because the big voice in my head is saying that love means commitment. And if there's no commitment, then it must mean she doesn't love me, even though she's communicating that in a lot of different other ways. And I'm just really wrestling with that insecurity.
Yeah. I just love the way you laid that out, because it's just such an awful place that we all know. You realize that what you're experiencing, that what you're thinking and feeling is completely irrational, and that has nothing to do with anything.
Right.
Yeah, that you just go right on thinking and feeling the same thing. So, yeah, it just gives us a lot of sympathy for the human being, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, we like to be in control of these things, and we're just absolutely not. So, so there's this guy who, well, we have at least two guys, right? So one guy knows that I'm getting a lot of information that this woman cares about me. I understand what's going on with her and that. And then there's this other fellow who is not interested in any kind of good reasons for any of this. He's just kind of flipping out.
Well, I think more than that, he's latching on to everything, because on top of dating me, she's trying to build new friendships and connect with people. So there are a whole lot of guys in her life right now. And so every time a new guy comes along, that's like that opportunity for that guy to jump on that. See, this guy, she's going to leave you for this guy. And again, even though I know it's irrational and destructive, and it's
not appealing.
No, horribly not appealing.
It's just not attractive, is it?
No.
Yeah, you can see that, huh?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And so that now the what you just described there makes me think that there we might have something else going on besides two aspects of the personality, because the way you phrase that, look, see, she's going to leave you for this guy. Now, this sounds a little more like self-hatred, doesn't it?
Sure.
Uh-huh. Because, that's a really important distinction, because originally I would have projected that this was a guy who's young, kind of sort of a teenager, insecure, anxious, insecure and anxious. But the look she's going to leave you is not an anxious, insecure person, is it? It's somebody who is putting the knife in and starting to twist it.
Hmm.
Can you sense that difference?
I think I can. What do you exactly do you mean by sticking the knife in and trying to twist it?
Well, that it's you're going along, you're not thinking about this, and then a voice comes in and says, "There's another guy. There's a guy in her life. She's going to leave you. She's going to leave you for him."
Mm-hmm.
It's a needling, a goading. You know, it's somebody trying to get you.
Hmm.
If it were an aspect of the personality, if it were that young, insecure guy that I was suspecting originally, then the voice would probably be talking in terms of I. You know, she's going to leave me.
Mm-hmm.
Not you. That's the clue that it's somebody trying to get you.
Oh, I see. In other words, it's a separate. It's coming at me directly.
That's right.
Huh.
And I would guess that who it's talking to is somebody who is insecure and anxious.
Sure. Yeah.
So there you are identified. As soon as it starts talking in that threatening kind of way, then you become identified with the one who is anxious and insecure.
So it automatically puts me in that anxious, insecure place.
Exactly. And so I would say, if our speculations here are accurate, that what's going to be necessary, it's the same thing that I would have said originally, but it comes at it from a slightly different angle, that what you're going to be required to do is disidentify,
mm-hmm.
come back to center, and be that reassuring presence for that insecure guy that he needs.
Instead of expecting her to be.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, because given that as human beings we're all pretty much alike, she's got the same thing going on. You know, she's getting identified with all different kinds of aspects of her personality. She probably has some self-hate stuff going on. And so she's dealing with her own set of voices and trying to make her way through that. She can't be the compassionate presence for you.
Hmm.
And no matter how much she might love you, we just can't do that for one another.
Right.
Yeah, we can only do it for ourselves, which is really a blessing.
Well, that is, you know, and I actually had read Be the Person You Want to Find just a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And It really is profound in so many ways and hard to just leap into.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, I've been raised in the idea that a relationship is this mutual need-meeting thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the blessing, you know, the other blessing is that this girl is not at all like that. On the contrary, this is a girl who's very much happy in and of herself. And honestly, I think that's a big part. In fact, we've talked about this, is she doesn't need me.
Right.
She just wants me around for companionship, and I actually have a very, very hard time with that, because if you don't need me, how can I trust that you'll keep me around?
That's right, yeah. And so, based on that, you know that an awful lot of relationships are set up in that really unhealthy, codependent, needy sort of way as job security.
Mm.
And of course, we see over and over and over again that it doesn't work. So to have two people who are really devoted to taking care of themselves and meeting their own needs, and then enjoying one another's company, choosing to be together simply because they like one another, love one another, appreciate one another. Life is better together than it is separately. That's a relationship that has a chance of lasting over time.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you. You've been so helpful. I've got a lot to process.
Well, good, good.
About.
And let us know how it goes.
I will. I will.
All
thank
right.
you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jim. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. And, Sherry, I like to mention sometimes that, as most people know, all of these shows are in the archives.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, when I call in or I talk, you know, I have no clue what I said.
Right.
And it's so helpful to go back, you know, because it's recorded and then I can listen to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that kind of thing where it can be helpful to listen to it a few times.
Yes.
Because different parts of us hear it. As you know, so many people say that, I couldn't listen to it again. Oh, my God, I couldn't, you know, because the voices are saying
right.
you sounded like an idiot, and I can't believe you said that. And
right.
And then they listen to it again and go, oh, well, that kind of makes sense.
Not so bad.
Yeah, so listen to it two or three times and let all of the different parts who are interested in the subject have a chance to hear it.
Yes, yes. We have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Isabel from San Francisco. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi
there.
Hi. Speaking of the archives, I'd just like to say how valuable I've found those, especially the podcasts.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much for doing that.
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
So I think I would like some guidance with how to work with something. I find myself in a situation in my life where I've sort of set up that I have two choices, and one is seems more financially secure, stay with the career I have and invest in an apartment, and then the other one is go back to school and study something that I've been very passionate about for, you know, since I was a teenager, and spend pretty much all my savings doing that.
Aha!
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I've tried on a different decision around it.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple months, I was like, okay, this is just too stressful. I'm going to delay this decision for a year. Felt kind of depressed. And then for the last week, I've tried on, okay, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go back to school. And felt really happy for a week. And then had some conversations with people and kind of shifted back into this I don't know if it's a different aspect of the personality, but into this, oh, gosh, I'm very afraid, won't have financial security.
Now, can I ask you about that just before you go on?
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to people, what did they say?
Well, it was interesting because it wasn't even actually a conversation about the specifically about the decision.
Uh-huh.
It was a conversation with someone who was talking about the high cost of housing and how it just keeps going up.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, and I have that voice in my own head. So that's sort of what triggered me to go back the other way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so I just, it's sort of gotten to the point where now it's almost like either choice I'm not even that excited about.
Right.
And I see that. I see it's like conditioning is turning it into, well, now both things are a problem when really doing either would be wonderful.
Isn't that astounding?
Yeah.
It's just amazing, isn't it? Either one of them, because you like what you do now.
It's, you know, it's not bad. It doesn't feel like my calling.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it affords me a pretty good life.
Right, you don't hate it.
I don't hate it.
Now, do you suspect it with the other, if you what would you do if you went back to school?
Like, I'd be studying psychology.
Okay. And if you did that, do you suspect that over time you would get basically to the same place that you are now with what you're doing?
I honestly don't know. I have wondered that, and I suspect some of those things would come up.
Yeah.
But
it's because it's kind of how we are.
Right.
We do something for a while, and then, you know, we've done that, and it turns into kind of same old, and we're not as passionate about it, and it becomes stressful, and so we get a upside and a downside, and life kind of goes on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But with that one, I do have more of a sense like it would be, I mean, I don't want to sound too dramatic here or something, but it feels more like fulfilling, like a life's destiny.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the other one, doing the more financially secure thing, that's the one where I kind of see, like, oh, if I did that and I buy the house and I think it's all going to be great, let's not kid ourselves, there's going to be problems.
Uh-huh.
But I still feel kind of stuck. And when the voice comes up that's really afraid to go back to the school thing, that's afraid of that, I don't know if it's that, you know, should I be mentoring the one who's afraid?
Well, that would certainly be a good start, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I think, it sounds like you're seeing it really clearly, that you have a really good life, and there's this other thing that you would like to do. Both of those are good things. So, you know, you really can't lose. If either way, you can't lose. And yet conditioning has turned them both into a lose.
Yes.
So the issue, as always, is not with whether you should stay with your current job and buy a house or whether you should go back to school. The issue is, should you continue to be in relationship with conditioned mind or not?
Mm.
Right? Because it's gonna do that with everything in your life. I mean, that's its job, as far as we can tell. It's there to ruin your good time. And it's going to do that no matter what. And I think that you're wise to be nervous about going ahead with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you continue to be in this relationship with conditioned mind, and I'm saying that like, you know, you can just fire it tomorrow. And
right.
I'm not suggesting that, of course. But if you continue in this way, whatever you do is a mistake.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it will try to do that to you for the rest of your life. Whatever you do, it will say you should have done the opposite.
Yes.
Yeah. So, to me, it's just helpful to clarify that if you spend the next whatever period of time divorcing yourself from that relationship,
right,
getting to the point where you know for yourself, within yourself, that it's your job to be with you and make you happy wherever you are and whatever you're doing, okay,
mm-hmm.
First you establish that, and then you decide what you're going to do with your life.
Mm.
Because they have to be separate issues. As long as conditioning can mush those together, it's going to make you miserable.
No matter what.
No matter what. You cannot win. When we are in, and of course you're not alone in this, every human being on the planet is in the same, you know, some degree of the same struggle. As long as we're in that relationship, we are going to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm. So to see if I got what you said, so make it so like the first sort of step is that my job is to be with myself and to make myself happy. And is that sort of in the line of kind of like regardless of the external circumstances?
That's right. That's right. And it has to be. Now, I'm not saying, and so that means stay in your job. I'm saying that they are two completely separate things. So if we were talking about, you know, money, just money, not job and security and all that, but just money.
Okay.
And the voices are focused on, you have to have this amount of money. You have to have this amount of money. You're not going to be all right. You won't have retirement. You can't blah, 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 blah. You have to have this amount of money. And I would say the same thing. You have got to separate that conversation from your life and your well-being. You have to see that that conversation is irrelevant, and it's only going on to make you unhappy,
mm-hmm.
to take your attention. So that doesn't mean anything about your relationship with money. It means you've got to stop having that conversation.
Mm.
Without that conversation, then you're free to do whatever you want to do about money. But as long as that conversation is going on, you're going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the difference?
I do. I guess I didn't see, though, where you said it doesn't have anything to do with my relationship with money.
Well, when you that conversation is there to distract you.
Oh, that's it's, the content?
It's a money suck. The conversation is not actually about money. If it could make you miserable in a conversation about broccoli, that's what it would be talking about.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're involved in that conversation, you'll never have any freedom about money.
Mm.
You see, because everything that you try to do, every direction you try to go in, gets pulled into the conversation.
Right, they all become bad.
That's right.
Yeah.
So when you're no longer in that conversation, then you can save money, spend money, borrow money, steal money,
right?
Whatever you want to do. And it won't be a conversation.
Uh-huh. Okay, I see that.
Uh-huh.
And I guess then for me the question is, well, then how does one make a decision from that point?
Well, you can't. You can't know that now.
Uh-huh.
First, you have to stop the conversation.
Mm.
And then when the conversation is stopped, you will know. You will know what you want to do.
Mm. Okay.
And the voices will try to come in and pull you back into the conversation. But you see, here's the thing that to me is true for all of us. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter at all. The only thing that matters is that you're happy, that you have a fulfilled life, that you feel good about yourself, that you enjoy yourself, that you feel connected, that you are making a contribution to life, that you're a good person.
Mm.
And that's, none of that is dependent upon anything. It's an internal relationship.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's establishing that, and once that's in place, then you're free to go wherever, do whatever,
mm-hmm.
and there's no conversation because it's unconditional. The conversation is conditional. If this, then that, and that means that, and you have to this, and you can't that, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, in the unconditional, you are who you are, and you're free to do whatever.
Okay. So it sounds like more meditation practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the only way I can think of to kind of get to that state, and maybe some mentoring.
That's right. And, of course, you like psychology.
Yes.
There's a good deal of that in it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Isabel. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we're popular again tonight.
Good.
We have three more callers.
Wow.
I'd like to welcome William from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening, William.
Hello, Sherry.
How's it going?
It's going okay. I'm calling in as part of my practice. I'm finding that I have so many things I'm thinking about, you know, during the week about what I want to bring up or possibly talk about, and a lot of them seem to escape me as soon as I call in. or I just feel overwhelmed by where do I start. But I did want to call in because I've kind of been experiencing, I think, the workshop of preparing to go to the deepening practice retreat.
Uh-huh.
And finding that, as I've mentioned a couple times, my conditioned mind has been going all over the place.
That's why I laughed when you said, you know, then you call and it's like there's nothing there. That's so restful, isn't it?
Right, it is.
That's worth the call right there.
It is.
I'll just call and watch my mind go blank for a few minutes. It'll be like a little vacation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one thing, I could definitely share a lot of the stories that are going through my head, and they're really drastic. They're really, you know, so final or so, you know, almost pointing towards, like, you know, life is over type of thing. But I guess one thing I just wanted to mention and maybe get your sort of impression on, and it's kind of happened gradually over the last couple days, and especially today, I was kind of thinking about, you know, just how agitated my conditioning is getting in getting closer to going on the retreat. And it's really getting severe, and it's different than how I felt before going to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, which was more of an excitement, can't wait to get there, you know. And I'm kind of suspecting, I'm kind of noticing a little bit how my conditioning seems to already be trying to figure out a way to kind of hide out or just kind of hang out the whole time. Almost in preparation for, like, already kind of projecting what the retreat's going to be like, how, you know, what maybe interesting things could I be distracting myself with while I'm there, or, you know, oh, I'm going to be distracted by the new surroundings, and, well, I can kind of stay put with that for a while, that'll keep me busy for a while, or, you know, and I'm sort of suspecting that that's what kind of happened in the week when I was at the Nothing Wrong With You retreat, was, even though I was there, there was still this focus on, well, Saturday is just a few days away. I can kind of hang out for a while. This isn't so bad, you know. I already thinking or planning about what I'm going to do when it's over. And I got to remain quiet for a few more days and meditate a few more days. But you know, I can. It was almost like my conditioning could kind of stay at a low level and not really have to be challenged. And
yes.
And I'm finding.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That I'm doing the same thing in preparation for this retreat, that it's almost trying to see how I'm going to get through it already.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. That's the whole point of practice.
Exactly.
So if you are watching it, if you're seeing how it does what it does to you,
uh-huh,
then definitely the retreat has already started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what conditioning, what, it's not even a, with most people, it's not a conscious conversation. There's an assumption that there's a way that you would be doing awareness practice that is different from how you are. That if you were really the right spiritual person doing the right practice, all this stuff wouldn't be happening. But, of course, awareness practice is simply your opportunity to see how conditioned mind does what it does.
Yeah. I guess this is sort of along the lines of something that is new for me and maybe a sign that, I'm maybe catching on to some of this awareness practice, is I had kind of two sort of sensations or awarenesses around, you know, this realization that I can see my conditioned mind is already kind of planning how it's going to try and make it through the month without really being challenged. And one was just kind of a feeling of being upset, like, oh, I'm going to waste the month, it's going to be a mess, you know, I'm not going to make as much progress as I'd like, you know. And then the other one was just interested, was just looking at it and saying, look what it's doing.
Uh-huh.
That interesting. And it didn't go to the place of, oh, well, this is going to be, it's going to ruin your experience, or you're going to waste your time, or you're not going to get as much out of it as you could because it's going to come in and mess it up.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that would be potentially helpful and interesting is every day to keep track of what it's doing. So now it's talking about this, now it's planning that, now there are fantasies about this, now I'm imagining this. Now the voices are talking to me about this, and just keep track of all of the things that it runs past this retreat that's coming up. All of the beliefs and assumptions and projections and all the different personalities that come up, and just exactly what everybody is doing. And then here's my best encouragement to you for the month. Keep talking about it.
Okay.
Because the one thing that it's going to work hardest to get you to do is not reveal what's going on, not to reveal what it's doing and what it's saying to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know,
sort of
all
what I'm
of
doing
this
tonight.
Pardon me?
Sort of what I'm doing tonight is what I should continue doing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Get it all. Get as clear a picture of it as you can, because then during the month it'll be a recognition. Oh, okay, that's that one. Oh yeah, there it is doing that. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's that same process. You know, it's slightly different content, but that's the same process that it's doing with. And as you get clearer and clearer about it, and as you watch what happens during the month, of course, you're going to see how it does it in your whole life.
Yeah.
And that's all we do in awareness practice. We just recognize it all enough to stop believing it.
Hmm.
That's where the freedom is.
Yeah.
It'll go on. It does go on. It's like traffic. You know, traffic goes on. If you get upset over it, if you think something should be done about it, it needs to be different, you hate it, you're going to be miserable. If you realize traffic is there, it's going to go on. That's just how it is. I don't need to give it any attention at all. You're free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We only have a few more days, right? So.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
Eating up.
Okay.
All right, I'll see you back at the ranch.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us, William. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have about 10 minutes left, and we have two more callers.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Kristen from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
Oh, it's great to talk to you.
Well, good. What's going on?
I've never called in before, so I've been listening to the archives and listening to the show for a while, and it's just really, really great. It's just been so incredibly helpful.
Oh, I'm glad.
And thank you, Michael, too. And I just want to thank you guys for doing this show. It's really great. And I was listening to the show that you did on peace the other day. It was maybe a year ago or something, and I was listening to it in the archives, and I was having a pretty hard time and having a pretty hard day, and just wanting to hear people talk about their problems. and stuff, and the show on peace came on, and it was just really great. I don't remember specifically why, but it was a very broad discussion, but it was just very, very helpful.
Good.
As they all are.
You know, one of the things that I think is so about that, at least for me, it's so, and it's the reason that I do awareness practice, that, you know, we were talking a little bit ago about this other conversation, the conversation that conditioning wants us to be in, the conversation for suffering.
Exactly.
But there's a conversation for practice.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what you're talking about. There's whether we are going to a workshop or a retreat or we're listening to or calling into a radio show, there's a centering that happens to us just in turning our attention to practice. So you know, whatever you do to get access to those shows.
Yeah.
And what's causing you to do that is a desire to be with yourself, to be with your heart, to come back to center, to let go of all of the stuff and just be here. And then you start to listen, and it reinforces that desire in you.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon, sure enough, you're centered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that kind of what it feels like?
Yeah, that was my experience. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really cool. So there's one other thing I want to ask you about. When I'm sleep deprived and I get tired, and then you know, if something's going on, like there's something going on in my life that conditioning is, you know, saying is really important and making me feel bad. Well, I mean, basically there always is, but when I'm really, it's really hard when I'm tired. I've noticed to like the voices. Like usually I can just keep it at bay, or I can focus on something else, or I can become centered easier. But when I'm tired, it's like the voices are like, I mean, they won't shut up. They're so loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're a voice in my ear or something. And it's,
yeah. Yeah. Which is horrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and now why are you sleep deprived?
Sometimes I just don't get enough sleep. I'm kind of anxious or whatever, or for whatever reason I don't sleep. And then, I mean, usually it's like something will happen that will upset me, then I won't sleep, and then I'm awake thinking all day about this thing and can't get out of my head or whatever.
So you can see it as all part of a pattern.
Right.
Right, it keeps you conditioning, keeps you from sleeping, then you're tired, then it can really chew at you.
Yeah.
Yeah? So that, you know, I don't know if it seems helpful to you, but to me, realizing that is really helpful.
Yeah.
So
I hadn't thought of it as being part of the same thing. Like,
oh, yeah. Keeps you up all night. It tells you how awful you're going to feel, and then tortures you when you believe that you feel awful.
Right.
Yeah. So you're a meditator.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you can't sleep at night, what do you do?
I get up and kind of putter around, and sometimes I do some writing and drink tea. I mean, I don't know, whatever I can.
Okay. Here's my encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just told me that they read this latest article on insomnia, and it said to do what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know, to, if you can't sleep, get up and do something else. And I think they're wrong. I think that what a person needs to do is to stay in bed and lie there and learn to focus the attention on something other than the mind.
Right.
Now, are you physically comfortable when you're in bed?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So you've got a good bed, and you're warm and cozy and all of that sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you like milk?
Not particularly.
So drinking warm milk would not be a good idea.
Sometimes it helps, actually.
Yeah, it actually does, especially if there are any blood sugar level, issues going on. So something like that, something, your tea or whatever it is, and then lie there and begin to move your attention through the body in a way that you can do lots of things. You know, you can do the kind of somatic relaxation thing about I'm relaxing my feet are relaxing, I'm relaxing my ankles are relaxing. And you just quietly say that to yourself in your mind, mm-hmm. You know, just not, you don't want to say it out loud, you just kind of turn your attention there and feel feel your body relaxing and just move all through your body and let your body completely relax. And then just feel the life force moving in your body. And what will happen, of course, is the attention will be drawn to conditioned mind. Conditioned mind is going to do everything it can to draw you to it. And you're practicing bringing your attention away from conditioned mind and down into your body and allowing your body to relax and just lie there and enjoy the feeling of the life force moving through your body. Mm. You can use your breath to help it move, and you just lie there and you practice relaxing and being present and imagining that what you're doing is as restful to you as if you were sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so what you're doing is taking away conditioning's ability to frighten and torture you. Mm. And so you're using what it's trying to use against you for you. So that time, instead of being time to make you miserable, is a time for you to be there taking care of yourself, being present with yourself. You know, you can offer reassurances and whatever is comforting and remind yourself that you're all right and that you want to relax and that you enjoy being with yourself and that this is a great time to be with you and like that.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay?
I will
make it
that.
Make it your time to be with you and learn to enjoy that time of being with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
And then let me know if it works.
I will.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kristen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have one more caller, and we have about 4 or 5 minutes left.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome Jenny from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening. Guys.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. What's going on in Seattle?
Well, I recently broke up with my boyfriend of 5 years, so I actually have a lot of questions, but I'll try to reduce it to one.
Well, keep in mind, we have next week.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
And I don't know if our breakup is the right step for us, or I'm not confident in our decision. But it's made me think a lot about my beliefs in how the universe functions.
Uh-huh.
And kind of choosing what I want to believe. And if I can believe that things work out for the best, or that the universe supports the best outcome, then that kind of allows me to let go and just see what happens and be open to the process.
Uh-huh.
And I've never really taken action based on that belief before. My actions in the past have been based on the fact that the universe isn't supportive and that you just have to kind of fight for what you get.
Mm.
And so I guess my smaller question is what you think of that belief or those beliefs.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
What is your experience? When you look back over your life, what is your experience? Is it your experience that you have kind of forced to happen what has happened in your life?
I mean, to some degree, yeah. Like, I haven't always taken risks. I've just done what I thought I should do. Like, I was a really good student, or I took the secure job, or that type of thing. And so I haven't kind of experimented with letting go like that.
You did do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did do those things.
Okay. And so within that, does it feel like life has taken care of you?
Yeah, I would say so.
Uh-huh. But the voices would also tell you that it's because you've done certain things.
Because I've tried so hard and fought for it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so it's easy, isn't it, to see that it could be framed either way. Now, the thing that makes it difficult for a lot of people, and I suspect that this is kind of the crux of what you're looking at right now, we can believe that we make things happen in life right up until something happens that makes it absolutely clear that we have no control over what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So a lot of people experience that with, the loss of a loved one, or,
right,
suddenly they're fired from a job, or they have a health crisis or whatever, and there's this sense of, oh, I'm doing everything right, and yet this thing happens to me. And then we get pulled into a belief that in some way it's personal, right? That,
mm-hmm,
that life isn't on my side, that I can't really trust life because I didn't get what I wanted.
Right.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I hear the music playing in the background. You hear the music?
Yeah, I hear it.
are you doing anything next Tuesday night? Can we continue this?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
I'll call in then.
All right, you call in and we'll continue. You'll keep looking at it. I'll look at it.
Okay.
And then we'll move forward.
Okay, thanks, you guys.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Jenny. Sherry, it's another great show in my experience.
Yeah, and we'll start off great next week if Jenny keeps our date.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.